Now, I know some of us had a difficult time coming up to camp. I know first period, somebody got a blowout in the middle of the night, had to get rescued, and then said, hey, I understand, someone broke down, had to get rescued. I broke down going home from camp last year and had to get rescued. Praise God. But we're here. Yes, car. Yes. No, I didn't have a breakdown. Praise God. Although some people may think so. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we're here. And we're here by God's appointment. Right? God brought us here. Could have been doing a lot of things this summer, going different places. But what better place to be than where God wants you to be? And I'm glad when God wants me to be at Pilgrim Camp. Hallelujah, because I know he'll meet me here. Tomorrow morning, our service is here in the lodge. It begins at 10:15, and we'll take an offering during that service. And perhaps you've heard this before, but that's the only offering we take during the week, that Sunday morning offering, and that is used to make it possible for children to come to camp that wouldn't be able to otherwise. Praise God. And so you give as God lays it upon your heart. Praise God. We're glad that we can be part of that. I have a thought tonight, a brief thought, and I'd like you to open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 20, and we'll look up a few verses. Acts chapter 20, we're going to be reading verse 28. I think it was 1980 that I was ordained to ministry in the Ridgewood Pentecostal Fellowship, and Brother Edwin, Pastor Edwin Walfogle, Sr., preached to myself and Pastor Ernie Walfogle, and some of you know Brother Bowie Curry. We were ordained together, and he preached from this chapter. And he particularly emphasized that 20, what verse was that I said? 28th verse. Yeah. Here the Apostle Paul had gathered together the Ephesian elders, and he knew that he would never see them again face to face here in this life. And so he had some instruction to give them, and he commended them to the grace of God. You're not going to fulfill your call apart from the grace of God. You need God to do it in you. And so he directed them that way. And then I like this. He said, feed the flock of God, which is among you. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He said, you've been given an awesome responsibility to care for the people of God. And God will give each one of you your own flock, and he wants you to feed that flock. Help them to be strong in God and to grow. And he said, you need to look at every individual as someone whom Jesus purchased with his own precious blood. Everyone is equally precious to him, and God wants to make them precious to you as well. And Brother Edwin emphasized that everyone that comes into the church, no matter who they are, no matter what their background, Jesus paid the same price for every one of them. He didn't pay more for some and less for others. He shed his own precious lifeblood to purchase each and every one. And so that makes them precious. And we ought to see God's people as precious, and then we ought to give ourselves to ministering to them, as the Apostle Paul did, and he then speaks about his example and how he gave himself. He poured out his life to feed the people of God and to care for the church of Jesus Christ, and he admonishes them to find grace to do the same. But I like it. It says, he purchased them. They belong to him. And we need to recognize that we belong to Jesus Christ. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. He has purchased us. He has the right to do with our lives whatever He chooses because we belong to Him now, body, soul, and spirit. And the Bible talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We can turn there. It says that we are His temple. And in all of these verses, it emphasizes the word His. We are His temple. Can someone read that for me? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Now, my whole family's here. I have my wife, Lily, and I have my daughter, Natalie. She's my oldest. And Bethany's over here, and Kenny's sitting right in front of me. And they know if nobody else responds, I'll call on them. So for their sakes... Amen. You're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Jesus Christ. He bought you with His own precious blood. He poured out His life on Calvary so that you could have life. Your body is His temple. He has come to live inside you, and that makes these bodies of ours sacred. We have the Holy Spirit living inside these temples of clay. Somebody said, when I realized that my body was a temple of the Holy Ghost, that took care of everything. I didn't have to wonder whether I could engage in this or do that or do what other people do. My body, they can do what they want with their bodies, but my body is holy. My body belongs to Jesus. My body is His temple, and I want Him to be comfortable. I want to be a temple meet for His dwelling, suitable for Him to dwell in and to live in and manifest Himself. So many people in this world, oh, they don't see their bodies as temples of the Holy Ghost. They defile their bodies. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to defile the temple. And so he'll put thoughts in people's minds and he'll arouse passions within them, and people yield to those things, and they're controlled by those passions. And Peter tells us that when we follow our passions, it only leads to corruption and defilement. I heard a brother Hans Waldfogel tape, and he was saying, young people, aren't you glad that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, that you don't have to be defiled like everybody else, but you can live a holy life? You can glorify God in your body, soul, and spirit, which belong to Him. Praise God. God wants to make that more real to us. Oh, we can't live the way other people live. We can't do with our bodies what they do. But we have to get our light from God, and we want to live in these bodies in a way that honors Him. We are His temple. And of course, God is worshipped in His temple. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. And there it tells us that we are His body. Romans chapter 12, verses 3-5. Someone can read that for us as well.
For I say to the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, think soberly according as God has dealt to every man in measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another.
Thank you. Paul speaks about this also in Romans, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14, and this thought comes up in other passages as well, that we are members of the body of Christ collectively. As Christians, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we together form His body here on earth. And we're all given a function. And it's important that we function, that we let God use us, that we let God have His way in our life. And as we do, we strengthen one another. And the body of Christ here on earth glorifies him, and his will is done on earth as it's done in heaven. And he goes on in that chapter, and also in 1 Corinthians, he talks there about how just like our natural bodies have different parts, different members, and they don't all have the same function. My eyes are used for seeing. My ears are used for hearing. My hands are used for touching. My tongue for taste and for speaking, and so on. And he said, we need every member. Every member is important. And you can't say, well, I don't need the eyes, or I don't need the hands, or I don't need the feet. He said, if everyone were an eye, where would be the hearing? If everyone were the ear, where would be the smelling? And so on. And so every one of us, we have a place to fill in the body of Christ. Have you found your place? As you serve the Lord, you belong to Jesus Christ. And now he wants to use you to bless the other Christians and to strengthen them, encourage them. And God gives us gifts to enable us to do that. And it's interesting to me that here the Apostle Paul begins this whole teaching by saying not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly as God hath given to every man the measure of faith. And then he goes on to talk about how we need one another. When you think that you don't need the rest of the body of Christ, you're thinking too highly of yourself. We need one another. I know people that they don't go to church. They don't need to go to church. They can serve God on their own. Well, they're thinking too highly of themselves. Nobody has it all. God has not given to anyone but Jesus Christ everything. And what you lack, someone else has. And that's why we need to come together as Christians, and we need to minister to one another. And if you don't think that you need that, and you think that you can serve God all on your own, you don't need to come under anybody, you don't need to hear the preaching, you don't need to get Bible teaching, you don't need to fellowship with other Christians, the Bible says here you're thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And that's not good, because you're going to lose out, and what you have to offer others, you're going to withhold from them. But it's a beautiful thing when we come together and we say, Jesus, we need one another. Lord, we need you, and we need you to come to us through one another. And so help me to do my part, and help me to receive from others what you want to minister to me. And that helps to make the body strong and blessed. Praise God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it tells us we are his workmanship. And another translation, I have the King James, it says workmanship. But other translations say his masterpiece. I like that too. Can someone read that for us? Ephesians 2:10. Thank you. We are his masterpiece. We are his workmanship. You know, when I was helping work among the young people in Ridgewood, we used to have craft time. And we had one boy who, his crafts always looked horrible. He'd start painting it red, and then he'd change his mind and say, no, I think I want it to be blue. And before the paint even dried, he was painting it blue. And blue doesn't look as good as green, so he started painting it green. It always came out black when he was done. It was just totally, all the colors were mixed together, and it didn't look anything like it should. Unless it was supposed to be black, then that would be great. But, we would watch those boys. You know, some of them, they would really work hard at their craft, and they tried to do their best, and some had real talent. But others, they just made a mess of things. And I spent a lot of time fixing the kids' crafts so that they had something to take home that wouldn't scare the parents.
And, you know, I always thought, a lot of youth workers do that. They, after VBS, the night before the program, they're fixing all the crafts to try to make them look decent, you know. Some you had to work on real hard, almost start over completely. And, the Bible says we're his workmanship. When people look at our lives and they see the changes that God has made in us, and they see how God is using us to bless and to do good works, it brings glory to God. It tells them something about the Creator, something about our Savior, and what he can do when we give our lives to him. We've seen some real wonderful changes in people. Before, we lived any way we pleased. We were selfish. We were number one. We came first. And now that Jesus has come into our lives, he's number one. And we learn to love those whom he loves, and that's everybody. And we yield ourselves to him and we say, Lord, take my life and make me what you want me to be. Change me, Lord. Change my heart. Change my desires. Lord, help me to love the things that I ought to love and to turn away from the things that I used to love that don't glorify you. And people, God wants people to see that change in you. God wants your friends at school to see there's been a real change in you. Maybe they didn't notice much last year. But oh, after this summer, after we meet Jesus, we're going to go back to school. We're going to go back to wherever God places us. And by his grace, people are going to see something happened to us. And they may even inquire, what happened to you? You act different. There's something different about you. You don't do what we used to do and don't talk the way you used to talk. Well, then that's our opportunity to tell them what Jesus has done for us, that we belong to him. And we want to please him, and we're yielding our life to him, and he's making something beautiful out of our lives. Praise God. And so we're his workmanship or his masterpiece. Praise God. Now, this last one that I want to talk to you about, I'm sure this was never done at Pilgrim Camp before, Brother Paul. But don't be afraid. I have a shirt under this shirt. Okay? My wife said I should warn you. This shirt was a gift to me from my nephew. And it says, we are his instruments. You see that? We are his instruments. Praise God. Brother Hans Waldfogel used to play the violin, I understand. And when I listened to his recordings, he sometimes we'll talk about his violin and how we are instruments in God's hands, and that God wants to just flow through us. He wants his spirit to fill us, and he wants to use our life to cheer and bring blessing to others. Let's look at that for a moment. That's in Romans chapter 6. That's one place where the Apostle Paul talks about the fact that we are his instruments. Praise God. Boy, the Lord gave the Apostle Paul wonderful light, didn't he? I think in all of these passages, God inspired the Apostle Paul to write these words for us. And he gave him such insight, such an understanding of what God, why God saved us, and what he wants to do with our lives. Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. Can someone read that for us as well? Praise God. Romans 6, 11 through 14. Sorry.
You also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey God. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace.
Praise God. I think that's one of the most wonderful promises in the Bible. Sin will not have control over your life anymore because you're not under the law, but you are under grace. Praise God. You know, I've claimed that often. Sometimes when I fail, when I stumble, I say, Lord, this isn't the way I'm supposed to live. You said sin shall not have control of my life. I don't have to yield myself to sin. Before I was saved, I had no choice. But now that your spirit is living in me, now that I'm your temple, now that I'm your body, now that I'm your workmanship, now that I'm your instrument, I can yield myself to the Holy Spirit. And he can lift me out of my sin. And where there was unrighteousness, he can produce and manifest his righteousness in me. Praise God. I can live a holy life through the power of the Holy Spirit. God can use my life to glorify his name. Praise God. And the Apostle Paul says, you have to learn how to do that. You know, an instrument just has to do two things. It has to yield. Okay, when I play my guitar, it doesn't fight me. It just lets me strum and put my fingers on the neck wherever I need to. And it just yields itself. And that's what we need to do. God wants to take all the resistance out of us. You know, we have a natural resistance in us that God wants to set us free from and wants our life to be yielded to him. Have you ever felt that? You just resist the Holy Spirit somehow. You don't want to go in his direction. You don't want to do what he wants you to do. We're uncomfortable with that at times. And that's where we need to pray, Lord, take out all the resistance out of my life and enable me to yield myself to you. Lord, an instrument is supposed to be yielded. And then the next thing, the other thing an instrument has to be is what? In tune, good. I was glad you mentioned what I was thinking, because then I wouldn't have had anything else to say. Instrument has to be in tune. You can have a perfect instrument. Some instruments are very expensive. You hear about Stradivarius violins and so on. But if they're not in tune, they sound horrible. And sometimes we've gone to these concerts for the children. You know what that's like. I can see it on all of your faces. And they start playing. You know, my son is attending a school where his music teacher is a jazz musician, so he's teaching all the kids jazz. And well, the good thing about that is jazz, I can't figure out jazz anyway, so. But, you know, sometimes you'll sit through it and, oh, Lord. Now, my son plays the drums, so he's always in tune, and it sounds great. But those saxophones and those trumpets sometimes, wow. Well, they're just beginning. And each year they get a little bit better. But they got to be in tune. And you can have a perfect instrument. It can be perfectly yielded, but it has to be in tune. And we, too, need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, don't we? We have to keep in touch with God. You know? We have to abide in Jesus and keep close to him and just say, Lord, every day, Lord, tune my heart to sing your praise. Lord, just bring everything in line. Lord, I need a new tuning this morning. And when I come to meeting, Lord, tune me up so that I can play your song, that you can play your song through me. Praise God. God wants us to. He wants to play beautiful music through our lives and not sour notes. Praise God. There are some Christians that they're just so sour. And they're jarring. The Apostle Paul said, if I don't have love, I become like a clanging cymbal and a crashing gong. My life doesn't produce unity and harmony and pleasant notes, but it offends people and jars people. And God wants to tune those instruments up with his love and with his presence. I like the story of Touched by the Master's Hand. You know that story? There was an old violin that was for sale at the auction. And it was kind of beat up. I remember seeing a film, and they showed you the history of that violin. Somebody bought it for their child, and their child was playing baseball with it, using it like a bat, and then he threw it on the floor. And after a while, it got all scarred and dented, And it seemed good for nothing, and it passed from one family to the next. It was sold at a yard sale. Someone else bought it, and they tried to use it for a little while. And it ended up in the auctioneer's collection. And so the auctioneer picked up the violin, and he said, "What do I get for this old violin? You know, anybody want to give $1, $2, $3? Nobody, no takers. $4." He went through. Couldn't get any takers. And then an elderly man came up to the front and asked if he could take the violin for a moment. And he took it and he plucked it and he tuned it. And then he took the bow and he tightened the bow and he began to play beautiful music. He was a master. He was a violin teacher, concert violinist. He just played a beautiful number, and then he gave the violin back to the auctioneer. And now the auctioneer said, "Who'll give me $1,000? A hand went up. "Who'll give me $2? I don't know how high he went. And someone said, "He sold the violin for, he couldn't sell it for a few dollars before. Now he sold it for a few $1,000s. Someone said, "What made the difference? What brought about that change?" He said, "It was simple. It was the touch of the master's hand. It was that touch of the master's hand upon that old instrument, that battered instrument." You know, you may have been battered in life. You might have some scars. But if you'll yield yourself to God and you will get in tune with Him, just seek His Spirit, seek His anointing, seek His touch upon your life, and let the Master flow through you. Oh, what value He brings into our life, and what value He brings into the lives of others. How we enrich others, how He enriches others through us when we place ourselves in the Master's hands. Praise God. And so I hope you never forget my shirt. And then when you think of my shirt, think of the fact that we're His instruments. Lord, help me to be yielded. Take out all the resistance. And help me to keep in tune with Jesus. And Lord, give my life value as You flow through me. Praise God. Let's sing "Live Out Thy Life Within Me." It's in our white book, number 43. And then we will be dismissed. And again, we'll start a staff meeting soon after, immediately after. Praise God. Number 43 in the white book.
But restful come and quiet come, and then by a stream, permitting me to settle and perhaps seed of me. Hear the dialect within me, O Jesus, King of
God. Hallelujah. As we go, let's just remember our brother Gus one more time on his birthday. And I think this is good for our brother, that God will make his life more yielded and more in tune with Jesus, so that God can, through him, play and enrich others. Lord, we pray you'll bless our brother Gus. And Lord, that's what we pray for him. Greater yieldedness. Take out all the resistance, Lord. Lord, even that which he's not aware of. And Lord, let there be perfect yieldedness to you in everything that he does. And Lord, let him abide in your presence. And Lord, we pray that your touch will rest upon his life in a new way this year, and that he'll see God working through him as his instrument. Pray that you'll do it for all of us, Lord. Yes. We commit ourselves to you. Pray that you'll keep us this night and prepare us for tomorrow. Let your presence just settle upon these grounds. Let the rest of God fill our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.